Thank you for that, Brian. To follow up on that, what are some of the most important issues in a public sector IT procurement then? Martin, would you like to begin with that?
Well, certainly from the standpoint of a customer, you always want to ask and answer the question, does the solution provide the service that's required to meet the needs of your citizens, your constituents? That is always an overarching concern. When I was in the private sector, the goals were sometimes profit margin and revenue continuity. And I think the takeaway is that these are not necessarily mutually exclusive goals. The art and science of drafting the solicitation and negotiating a contract is to be able to write a contract that achieves both goals, that of meeting the needs of the citizens and achieving some profit margin and revenue continuity for the service provider. Brian?
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, I would just say, Martin, revenue and profitability never went out of fashion, on the service provider side. So I kind of break it down into high level versus detailed level type of view. At a high level of saying, does this work align with my capabilities and the customer set? Because state and local customers, public sector customers, including the feds, usually are high touch type of customers. If you're not experienced in this space, then you might be better positioned to be a subcontractor with a credible prime, or it also depends on your assessment of your position of win. The other is at a detailed level is, outsourcing tends to have a propensity of expansive scope. There's usually a sweeps clause that says you're going to do the stuff I used to do before, plus all this other good stuff. You also have the possibility of no guaranteed minimum volumes or variability in volumes. And how do you protect yourself on that? You also have the challenge of you have major subcontractors or suppliers. Invariably, their performance, their delivery, their milestones, their payments are going to be out of sync with your billing cycle on the prime level. So how are you going to assess that and reconcile that to make sure you have that as aligned as best you can? And then go through your risk assessment, risk register review to make sure you've got a path to gain the projected profitability and the revenue that you'll be held to. So
certainly there's a risk reward analysis that goes on. Thank you, Brian, for that. Martin, at the beginning of the project, how can lawyers drive efficiencies in the contracting process?
Well, I have always advocated to get involved very early during that pre-planning stage that you saw on the graphic earlier, if that's at all possible. I do know staffing resources is often an issue, but if you don't get involved early, you're going to pay the price down the road during the negotiations and potentially during contract management when there is some lack of understanding of what was intended as opposed to what may have been written. Eventually, you'll need to understand at least some of the fundamentals of the technologies involved, something about state finances and the procurement process and all the government rules around it. So sometimes it helps to have, and I heard earlier, I think it was an earlier speaker, have an acronym cheat sheet, ACS, an acronym cheat sheet, or some glossary of terms. That really helps in understanding as quickly as possible when you're involved in a new business program. So something like cloud computing isn't always a difficult concept to understand, but contracting for it can be. So the other thing to consider doing is get to know the subject matter or hire outside counsel or subject matter experts, consultants that can guide you through the process. There are certain areas that are just difficult to understand.
Thank you for that, Martin. Brian, do you have any responses to that as far as being having to drive efficiencies or from the lawyers driving what do you find to be most effective
approaches? My experience, we used to have some lawyers down the hall, and we fondly called them the business prevention team. Yeah. Because we'd bring a deal, or we'd find some work, or a customer wanted this and said we couldn't do that. So that was not a good model. So one is, again, you got to be part of the team. The other is, you got to understand the business, and then obviously being brought in during the strategy and the RFP. In this scenario, the service provider in your response, and some of that early marketing to understand what kind of solutions you'd be providing and what the ask might be on the client side. So the other is really kind of defining the role and responsibility. I mean, are you supposed to just, you know, do a quick review and say it's okay? An in-depth review. Another is if you're, again, aligning things with key subcontractors, suppliers, and how do those terms and conditions kind of mesh or don't? And a lot of times in organizations, like on the service provider side, I've got a background in contract management as well. No offense, but the subcontract management folks tended to be kind of lesser, more procurement type folks.